Well, we are glad you're with us today, and we did have a great week with the kids. It was really good. This is Father's Day. You know, Ernest Hemingway was one of the greatest American writers that America had ever produced, and he had the ability to capture the essence of a story in just a few words. He understood human character, and he understood the human condition. And in one of his stories, he writes about a father and his teenage son. And in this story, their relationship has become so troubled that the son has left home. His father longs for his return. And so he goes in search of his rebellious son. He searches high and low, but he cannot find his son. And finally, he arrives after many months of searching in Madrid, Spain. And in last desperate attempt to find his son, he puts an ad in the local newspaper. And the newspaper ad just simply reads this: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon tomorrow. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." You might be wondering, what did that father find the next day in front of the newspaper office? Well, there, stretched out on the street in front of the newspaper office, were 800 young men, all named, you guessed it, Paco. They were all seeking forgiveness. They were all looking for that love from their father. How are we going to get ready for Father's Day this year? Perhaps the best way to get ready for Father's Day is for us all to reconnect with your dad and my dad, with the Father of us all, our Heavenly Father. Would you turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Luke, chapter 15. It begins like this on verse 11. "And Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them, and not many days later, the young son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, but no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son began to say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him.' And his father said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that I have, all that is mine, is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found.' Someone has said the story of the prodigal son or the loving father is the greatest short story that's ever been written, and I would tend to agree with them. Luke's parable, really, in chapter 15, has three parts. If you read the first part of this chapter, verses 1 to 7, you will see it talks about the one and the 99. And the shepherd loses one sheep, and he leaves the 99, and he goes in search of the one. And then in the second part of this chapter, for verses 8 to 10, it talks about the woman who had lost a coin, the 10th coin. And she goes in search of it and sweeps the whole house. And now we have this third parable in this chapter. The love of the father reaches out to his prodigal son and to the tax collectors and the sinners, to the older brothers, and even to the scribes and the Pharisees. The good shepherd always takes care of his sheep. The Holy Spirit is always sweeping away the dirt in people's lives, looking for us. And the Father loves us and longs for us to return home. On this Father's Day, I hope that you understand that the Father loves you. Yes, He loves the world, but He loves you. He loves you, and that's why He demonstrates His love for you and me by giving us His wealth. Notice what this father does in this passage here. The first thing he does, a man had two sons. He had two sons. And he gave, his younger son came to him and said, "Give me, Father, give me." Fathers demonstrate their love for their children by giving. By giving. God is a gracious God. He gave us life. He didn't have to give us life. He didn't have to create us. He didn't have to plant us on this earth. You know, if you read up at the beginning of this chapter, you'll notice that in this chapter, it says the tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes were coming to Jesus. Why? Because people with problems are drawn to Jesus. What was Jesus' special secret of drawing people? Perhaps it was just as simple as the fact that he showed that he cared. One of the best ways a father shows and demonstrates his love is just the daily caring for his child. Caring can have a tremendous impact on a life. There was a young doctor in a teaching hospital, and he had to work in the pediatric ward, and he had to do a lot of painful procedures with those little children. And yet this young doctor, this resident, was far superior than any other student there in his class there at the hospital. The children would let him do some of the most painful procedures before they would let anybody else touch them. And the head nurse became very curious of this young doctor. Why was he so successful with these kids? She followed him around at night. And she noticed something, that every night on his last round among his patients, he would kiss them, give them a hug, and tuck them into bed. In that simple act of compassion, dads, tucking your kid into bed, that simple act of kindness made a tremendous impact on those kids. Fathers who demonstrate compassion and care create an image of God in the hearts of their children, that God also is loving and caring. They create that understanding in a child's heart that when you hurt, you can come to me. Oh, how many ills in society would be ended if people would just come to their father. When they hurt, if they would just come to their father. But they don't know that their father loves them. People were drawn to Jesus because he really cared. A father at his best is at his best when he really cares. Our Father loves us, and so He gives us. This is a song and a message that fathers have heard from the dawn of time. Give me, give me, give me. Dad, give me, give me. Father, give me. Give me the share of the estate that falls to me. He was the younger son. He was entitled to 1/3 of the estate. His older brother would have gotten 2/3. He would have gotten a double portion. This wealth is the wealth that would have fallen to him naturally when his father died. Deuteronomy 21 tells us, You shall acknowledge the firstborn son by giving him a double portion of all that he has. A father shall acknowledge the firstborn son by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength. To him belongs the right of the firstborn. The prayer of immature Christians is often, Father, give me. A child is always sees life in terms of what it wants and what it needs. But we all know that life is much more than just getting what we want. Our Father created us for bigger things. The firstborn would have received a double portion. And so the son says, give me my third. You know, there are five languages of love. Maybe you've read that book, The Five Languages of Love. But one of the languages of love is giving gifts. And some of you, that is your gift. That's the way you express love. You give gifts. The Father loves us, and he gives us things. Psalm 33, verse 5 says, the earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. It is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. We have an expectation that when we put a corn seed in the ground, it will grow. There's no guarantee that it will grow, but we have that expectation. Why? Because we've seen over the seasons of life that God blesses the earth. And many of you are in business because God blesses the earth. That's why you have pictures of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and all the Benjamin Franklin in your wallet, because God blesses the earth. He causes the seeds to grow. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, God causes his son, not our son, his son, to rise on the evil and the good. I mean, imagine that. The coca plants growing in Colombia, in South America, that will be manufactured and turned into cocaine and enslave the lives of people, God still sends the sun and the rain on the drug dealers. Because a father gives, a father loves. That's who he is. He can't help but express his nature. The old French proverb is, a father is a banker that nature provides. Why did the father do that? When I was 9 years old, I wanted more than anything else in the world, I wanted a fishing rod because I wanted to go fishing. And my father broke down, and it wasn't even Christmas, and he bought me one. And I promptly went out to Cranberry Lake, and I promptly was there fishing, and I ended up putting a hook in my finger. My father did not give me that gift so I would hurt myself. But sometimes when you're young, you take the things that God gives you and you use them in the wrong way. He gave me that gift because he loved me. It wasn't his intention to hurt me. Sometimes we use the gifts of our Father in wrong ways. That wasn't my Father's fault. It's not the fault of our Heavenly Father when we choose to do the wrong things with the gifts he's given us, whether they be these minds, these eyes, this mouth, these hands, the money in our pockets. God gives us freedom. After not many days, what did the son do? He just could not wait. What characterizes youth? Impatience. Young people are in such a hurry to grow up, to get out, to do. I want to go. I want to get away from the old man. I want to get out and see what the world is really like. Those who wait for the Lord and keep his way, they will inherit the land, Psalm 37 says. Give me. As soon as he got his stuff, he consolidated it. He turned it in for cash. He sold his family estate. He sold his patrimony, that which he was given as an inheritance. Now the buyer could not take possession of the land until the father's death, according to the rabbinic scholars. He didn't care about how that would impact the family, their family line. He wanted what he wanted. And that characterizes a lot of people today. They don't care how their decisions impact other people. Young people don't stop to think. And he moves away to a distant country. He moved away from Dad's house. The heart of God is throughout the Scriptures. And God is always crying over his people and longing for the fellowship of his people. Jeremiah 2:5, "Thus says the Lord, God our Father, what injustice did your fathers find in me that they were far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty?" Why is it that you want to get away from Dad? You notice there's a pew there and a pew there and a pew there. There's nobody in that pew. They're away someplace else. Now, if they're in church someplace else, that's fine. But I suggest to you that there are multitudes away. They want to be away from Dad. They don't want to be near Dad. And you don't think God sees that heart, those hearts? Of course he does. Now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering to Jesus. What did this young man do? He went out and partied. He scattered his wealth in various directions. That's what the word means. To disperse and spread it out. Those who love the rich are many. People always be your friend if you have money in the pocket, if you're the one buying the drinks. Wealth has many friends, Proverbs 19 says. And other people will use you as long as you have something to do for them or give them. And when you're young, you don't know that you're being used. You think they're your friend. Proverbs 23, verse 5 says, "Wealth certainly makes itself wings and flies away to heaven." Young are characterized by not knowing the dangers. That's why God our Father wants us close to him, because the world's a dangerous place and people will use you. Now, when everything was gone, and of course that's what always happens, we come to the end of ourselves. When everything was gone, he began to be in want. James says, chapter 4, verse 3, "You ask and you don't receive, because when you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." And he spent his inheritance on his pleasures. He went from a land of plenty to a land of not any. He went from having lots of stuff to having nothing to eat. God allowed that. God the Father allowed that. His Father allowed that. We don't like to think about those passages of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, when it says that God humbled you and let you be hungry. God will let us get our fill of our own way. And then God, it says, fed you with manna, which you did not know. Nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by the material things of this world alone. But man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This was the first time in this story that he was in need. While he lived with his father, he wasn't in need. When he got all his stuff, he wasn't in need. When he was spending it, he wasn't in need. This is the first time in this story he's in need. He began to be impoverished. He began to be impoverished, in need. I know that all of us always have all the money we need. We have all the time we need. We have all the resources we need. You see, he was away from the Father, so he didn't have the source of the Father's riches anymore. And so he becomes enslaved. He hires himself out to someone in that country. But you know what? When you're living among foreigners, it's not like living at home. It's not like living at home. He's a nice Jewish boy, but look where he ends up, feeding pigs. Now, Deuteronomy 14 said, "You are not to eat any of these." The ones that divide the hoof but don't chew the cud, they are unclean to you. The pig, because it divides the hoof but does not chew the cud, it's unclean for you. And here's this nice Jewish boy feeding pigs. Unclean animals. And it gets even worse than that. You think, how could it get any worse? He's broke. He's feeding pigs. But look what it says there in verse 16. He is so hungry, he would gladly have filled his stomach with what the pigs were eating. There's a lot of people living on pig food today. They're eating what the world's eating. And they're not satisfied, because what the world offers you will never satisfy you. It can't fill you up. There's always an emptiness. Always an emptiness. The word here for pods, or the food that the pigs were eating, is a word which means the carob pods. Carob pods grow on a tree like the locust tree. The carob tree will thrive in difficult environments. It has a very deep taproot. It lives in areas of low rainfall. It produces a seed which is very nutritious, loaded in carbohydrates. They even make a form of chocolate from this plant. And he would have liked to eat what the pigs were eating. No one was giving anything to him anymore. Nothing was a gift anymore. Everything had to be worked for. But of course, that's the way it is when you move away from the Father. When you're going to strike out on your own, be your own man, be in charge of your own life, means you have to deal with all your own problems. Don't have somebody to help you. Don't have somebody to help you. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Do you know anybody who's working themselves to death? I do. I know of people that have worked themselves to death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of my spiritual fathers in the faith was a man named Mike Sansusi. He was a wonderful man of God. He wasn't my earthly father, but he was my spiritual father. I had the privilege of working for him 3 years while I was in the Air Force. And I worked in his church. And the day finally came when I was discharged from the Air Force. I was let go, and my time in the service was over. And I had to choose to stay in Plattsburgh, New York, or go back to New Jersey. And Mike said Susie really wanted me to stay there. If he'd have said, Kevin, please stay and help us here at the church, I would have stayed. But he gave me the freedom to go. Fathers have to give their children freedom to make mistakes. They have to give them freedom to make mistakes. There's a great book out called 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Child Do. Why? Because we're raising a generation of snowflakes. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble this morning, but the world is a dangerous place. And how are your children going to find out that it's dangerous if they don't do some dangerous things? If you don't give your little boy or girl a pocket knife and they end up cutting their finger. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You're not a good parent. No, you are a good parent, because the world is always going to be filled with sharp things. They need to learn. And this father let his son go out into a dangerous world because he loved him. Do we see that our Father has loved us by giving us all things, even the freedom to run away from him? The Father demonstrates his love for us by welcoming us back after we've messed up. When he finally came to himself, verse 17, how many of my father's men have more than enough? They're not even the son. Jesus said, if anyone serves me, John 12, he must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. I'm not rich, but God has always supplied, whether it was a pair of jeans or a car. I can't tell you how many cars I've been given over the years. I can't tell you how many roofs have been put over my head, because the Father takes care of his kids. Fathers, in giving to your children, remember to give them a love they will remember. Instead of the next plastic toy or the next McDonald's Happy Meal, make sure they know that you love them no matter what they do. Because then they'll know I can go back home again. I'm dying here. I was full there in Father's house. I'm dying here. Do you know that's the first step in recovery? Every AA meeting I've ever been in, that's the first step of recovery. Realizing you're dying. Realizing you're out of gas. It's on E, E, E. That's God's little way of saying, you need to change course. I will get up and go to my Father's house. Once again, he acknowledges the relationship. See, we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And it is that relationship which is paramount in our lives. Not how smart we are, how many years of education we have, not how many friends we have, not how much money we got, how many likes, how many people like you on Facebook. What is paramount in life is this relationship we have with the Father. That should have number one priority. Because that's the one that will sustain us even through death. Notice what he says. How he has changed. Hanging around pigs will do that to you. I had to drive by a pig farm yesterday. Whew, boy, I wouldn't like to work there every day. Thank God there are people who want to do that, but I wouldn't like to. The prayer of the mature believer is much deeper, much more profound. I will say, Father, make me. Father, make me. Father, make me into what you want to make me into. Make me a servant. Make me, Father. Who created you? Who knows what your gifts and talents are? Who knows what would make your heart dance and sing? But the one who made you. Father, make me. What did Jesus say we need to do in order to be great? We must serve everybody. Jesus asked them, what were you discussing on the road? They were silent because they were embarrassed. They were discussing who was greatest among them. Jesus said, if you want to be great, be the servant of all. Father, make me. Make me, Father. So he got up and he went to his Father. You got to love verse 20. That's one of those verses that just reaches out and touches your heart. But while he was still a long way off, Dad didn't wait till he proved himself. Dad didn't wait till he was clean. Dad didn't wait till he was perfect. While he was still a long way off, his Father ran to him and embraced him and felt compassion for him. That is the heart of God. Put the robe on him, the best robe. What are you, crazy, God? Dad, this guy smells like pigs. Put the best robe on him. What was our first birthday suit? What was our first robe anyway? I suggest to you that Adam and Eve were not naked before they sinned in the garden. I suggested to you that they were clothed with the glory of God. Man's first robe was the glory of God, but he lost that when he sinned, and the glory departed. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we feel ashamed. The glory, they had the glory there before they sinned. They had the glory of knowing no sin. The glory of not being ashamed. Clothe him with the best robe. You know, the Bible talks a lot about clothing. Revelation 7:9, after these things I looked, and there was a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Palm branches were in their hands, and they were crying out in a loud voice, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And I said to the angel, my Lord, you know. He said, who are these? And the angel said, you know. These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Put a ring on his finger. What's the significance of the ring? Well, the ring had an impress in it. It had a design in it, cut into it. And when you signed a contract in those days, you took your ring and you pressed it into the wet clay of the contract. And that was like signing your signature. Put a ring on his finger. What, are you crazy? This kid just blew your money, one-third of your estate. You're going to give him your credit card again? God, haven't you learned anything? And God turns to us and says, haven't you learned anything about me? That's the kind of a God I am. I'm the God who's always willing to restore. I'm always willing to give someone a new chance, a second chance, a 42nd chance, a 15,000th and 43rd chance. I'm always willing to restore one of my kids. Always. He once again had the right to draw on the Father's riches because the relationship was restored. Kill the fattened calf. Look at the contrast. He was starving in a far country away from God. Now he's eating prime rib at the Father's table. Does God love us? Of course he does. Does God want to bless us? Of course he does. Don't stay away from God. Don't stay away from Dad. Have we been restored to our Father? Are we feasting on his goodness, his kindness, his forgiveness? Are we still starving on pig food? People try to satisfy themselves with this world. You can't satisfy yourself with this world. It's pig food. Ah, the older son. How many of us have been the older son through the years? Oh, I've been there. Watch all the sinners out there having a good time. And Jim's sitting here at home, got to do this. And Dad never does anything. He was physically there, but his heart was far away. He was just as much a prodigal as the guy who ran out and was partying hardy. The Father loves us and desires our fellowship. The older son heard the dancing and the party, and he became angry. He wasn't happy. Oh, the number of Christians is legion who are angry. I'm angry. I'm angry at the world. I'm angry at this. I'm angry at that. I'm angry. He's angry. You know, it does no good to criticize the world, because the world is not going to change. It does no good to curse the darkness. It's better to light a candle. It's better to be positive. And look at how sad this is. Because this story ends with a question. We don't know if the older son came into the party or not. Do we want to be in God's presence, enjoy his rejoicing? Do we want to be part of the celebration? Or are we so focused on what other people are doing wrong that we miss the fact that God still loves them anyway? He says, for many years I've served you and you've never given me anything. Maybe he never drew upon the Father's riches. Maybe he never bothered to draw upon the Father's riches. He never asked God for anything. Do we know that Dad is looking for us today on Father's Day? Yes, it's Father's Day, but he's looking for us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to come home again. The Father loves us, so he gives us his wealth. The Father loves us, so he accepts us back into his presence when we screw up. And folks, I do this every day. I've come back into the Father's presence to say, I did something bad today. He says, I love you anyway. The Father loves us and desires our fellowship. He desires us to be in his house at his table. On this Father's Day, let's spend some time with Dad. Let's pray. Father, help us to be children who come home again and who are not so focused on the sin we see around us that we can't enjoy your presence, that we can't enjoy your blessings, that we can't enjoy your forgiveness. Lord, you made the world, everything in it. This world is not out of control. This world is not out of control. This is my Father's world. Lord, may today we rejoice in your presence. May we rejoice in your love. May we rejoice in your fatherhood over us. For you are a good father, and you do good things for your kids. And may we be your kids, Lord. May we do that which pleases you, Dad. In your precious name, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.